space trend. We are the wave. Lego to the world. We build. We brave. We build. We brave. We build. We brave. We brave. We build.
Continent DNA. Welcome to Continent DNA. This first episode is divided into four parts. The reason being is I want to explain to you how this podcast is built so that you have the structure in mind when we start episode 2. Part 1, the opening and the purpose. That is the part you are listening to right now. Part 2, the framework. Part 3, the landscape and the human engine. Part 4, the opportunity ahead and the promise. Each one builds on the other, so by the end, you will see the full picture of what Continent DNA is all about. I am really glad you are here today. This is the right place to be. Before we dive into today's discussion, let me start with a short story. The story of how this podcast came to be. A while ago, I was talking to a friend, a fellow business owner in Germany, about my new venture in Nigeria and how incredible the journey had been so far for me. He is someone who has traveled through the continent several times, Namibia, Ghana, South Africa, just to mention but few. So I assume he understood Africa's business pulse quite well. But his reaction surprised me. He looked at me and said, "Toby, I know Africa has potential, but honestly, I don't really know what's happening here right now." That moment stayed with me. I was troubled because here was a smart, globally minded entrepreneur. And yet, he had almost no idea about the wave of innovation, the growth, and the opportunities shaping Africa today. I remember going home that night and replaying the conversation in my head. If someone like him does not see it, how many others don't either? Sleep just would not come. I kept thinking about the founders, the builders, the dreamers, people working quietly every day to create progress, who never get the spotlight. And that is when it became clear to me, if I don't tell their stories, maybe no one will. That was my moment of truth, the point where I stopped waiting for someone else to define the story. Because too often, those who talk about Africa tell it from two extremes. One side paints the continent as helpless and dependent. The other exaggerates and sugarcoats reality. Both miss the truth. If Africa is going to prosper like the rest of the world, it must attract serious investment. And investment comes from trust. And trust comes from truth. So, I decided to start telling Africa's story differently, grounded in facts, powered by data, but told with heart. And that is how Continent DNA was born. A space to share stories, insights, and voices shaping the future of business across Africa. But more than that, it is a blueprint for how the continent built its next chapter with strategy, with system, and with self-belief. Now, for those who don't know me yet, I am Toby Duru, your host and the founder of Appoglide Group. Appoglide started as a simple idea. I wanted to build something bigger than just one company, a space for innovation, growth, and purpose. As a minority living in Germany, I have experienced firsthand how a single narrative can shape opportunity and how the right exposure can change everything. That is part of why this podcast exists, to reshape narratives and open perspectives that lead to real progress. Today, that vision has grown into Appoglide Group. which brings together three divisions, each different but all driven by one belief. Real progress happens when vision meets action. Apoglide Holding is the foundation where we manage investments and long-term strategy. Apoglide Consulting helps businesses and individuals unlock their potential and build for sustainable growth. And Apoglide Homes Limited turns that same vision into reality through beautiful, sustainable homes built for modern living. Together, these companies represent a journey, not just mine, but a story of what is possible when ideas meet courage. And this is only the beginning of what we want to do with Apoglide Group. This podcast, Continent DNA, is an extension of that journey. It is where we talk about real progress, what it takes to build, to lead, and to grow in Africa and beyond. Too often, Africa is portrayed as a continent of limitations. Those narratives may sell fast and attract sympathy, but they don't empower or transform. Here, we do the opposite. We talk about opportunity through evidence. We discuss risks alongside reward. We challenge perception with perspective. The goal is simple: not to sugarcoat Africa or deny its challenges, but to tell the real story, supported by facts, experience, and vision. Because where there are risks, there are always opportunities too. So, if you are ready, let's get started. Part 2, the framework. Before we dive deeper into today's facts and numbers, let me explain how this podcast works. Each episode of Continent DNA is built around deep research, practical insight, and real stories. We will explore industries, opportunities, and the people driving them. Some episodes will be solo, like this one, and others will feature guests, founders, investors, or leaders who are shaping the future on the ground. Now, when we talk about an industry or a market, we need a structure, a way to make sense of what is happening. So, will we use a simple, reliable lens called Michael Porter's Five Forces? If you study business, you have probably heard of it. But don't worry if you haven't. We will walk through it here slowly. It is five questions that reveal how competitive or attractive a market really is. The first one, the threat of new entrants. How easy is it for new players to come in and compete? The second, the threat of substitutes. Could something else solve the same problem more easily? Third, the power of buyers. How much influence do customers have over price and quality? The fourth, the power of suppliers. How much control do those providing materials or input hold? And finally, rivalry among existing competitors. How intense is the fight for market share? By examining these five forces, we will see where an industry is strong, where it is fragile, and where opportunity hides. But that's only half of the picture. Once we understand competition, we will look at maturity, how far an industry has developed. For that, we use what I call the market maturity curve. Every market sits somewhere along this curve. The first type we call nascent. The idea exists, the demand is real, but the ecosystem is still fragile. Think about renewable energy across much of Africa. The need is obvious, yet local manufacturing, financing, and maintenance are still growing. The second type we call emerging. Awareness is rising, and a few serious players are beginning to scale. fintech is a good example. Mobile payments, digital lending, and online banking are now part of daily life. The third type, expanding. Growth is rapid, competition is heating up, and capital is pouring in. Electric mobility fits here. From e-bike to bus flex, momentum is building fast. The fourth type is stabilizing. Regulation is clear. Big players dominate and returns become predictable. Traditional banking or telecoms often fall in this stage. And the fifth one, stalled. The market has matured or been disrupted. Oil and gas, particularly the upstream segment, is a clear case. These curves help us to see where to build and how to build. If you know a market stage, you can plan the right moves, timing, scale, and risk tolerance. In each episode, we will end this analysis with inputs for success, what it might take to win, skills, partnership, or timing. Because strategy without execution is just theory. Guests' episodes will bring real voices into that discussion. They will share how they raised capital, entered new markets, and managed setbacks. And then, shorter trend segments will highlight the shifts shaping Africa's business climate, policies, tech adoption, demographics, and mindset changes. Think of every episode as a toolkit, part insight, part reflection, part strategy. Before we continue, a quick note for everyone listening. Some episodes of Continent DNA will be in English and others will be in German, depending on the topic, the guest, or the setting. The goal is to keep every conversation authentic. Sometimes the best insights come when people speak in the language they think in. So, whether you are listening from Berlin or Lagos, Hamburg or Nairobi, this podcast is for you. Because what connects us isn't the language we speak, it is the drive to build, to change, to empower. In the next part, we will zoom out and look at the bigger picture, the numbers, the scale, and the rhythm of growth across the continent. We will talk about what data actually means, how it points to one thing. Africa's next decade will be defined by opportunity, the landscape, and human engine. Now, let us take a step back for a moment and look at the bigger picture, the shape of Africa's economy, and the rhythm that drives it. When people talk about Africa's growth, they often start with potential. That is a good thing. But I prefer to start with perspective, because perspective tells you what is real, what is already happening, and what is still hidden. In 2024, Africa attracted around $97 billion in foreign investment. It sounds impressive at first, until you zoom out. It is still only a small slice of global FDI. Think about that for a second. A continent with more than 1.5 billion people, full of untapped markets and natural resources and young talent. Yet its share of global investment remains small. That gap between potential and perception is the story we need to change. Because perception drives confidence, and confidence drives capital. Investors don't just follow opportunities, they follow narratives, and that is what Continent DNA is here to shift. From stories of risks to stories of return, from stories of charity to stories of creation. Now, let's talk about scale, the true size of Africa's economy. By global standard, it still looks modest, about $2.8 trillion in nominal GDP. That is the total value of everything produced, agriculture, industry, services, measured at current market prices. But When you adjust for purchasing power, the picture transforms completely. In real terms, Africa's economy is closer to $10.8 trillion, nearly four times larger than the GDP estimation. What that tells us is simple but profound. The internal market, what people can actually buy, build, and produce, is far bigger than most people realize. Purchasing power parity shows lived economic strength. Nominal GDP shows global financial weight. Both matter, but they tell different stories. And if you look beyond the numbers, you begin to see a pattern, a continent quietly reorganizing itself. To put things in perspective, the United States, with roughly 340 million people, produces about $26 trillion each year. That is more than nine times Africa's total output. The gap is wide, but so is the opportunity. Because beneath those numbers lies something deeper, something no statistic can fully capture, the human engine. Africa is the youngest continent on Earth. The median age is about 19 years. That means half the continent isn't even 20 yet. Imagine that for a moment. The energy, the curiosity, the restlessness of youth on a continental scale. Every year, millions join the workforce, ambitious, connected, digitally native. They are not waiting for someone to give them a plan. They are writing their own. This is not a generation of dependents. It is a generation of builders. You see it in the small details. A group of students coding in a cafe in Nairobi. A young woman designing solar panels in northern Nigeria. A logistics startup in Kigali solving traffic with data. That is the human rhythm that powers Africa's transformation. Young, connected, and unstoppable. And that energy is reshaping cities. Right now, Africa has three megacities, Lagos, Cairo, and Kinshasa, each home to more than 10 million people. But within the next decade, at least six more cities are expected to cross that line. Urbanization is accelerating faster here than anywhere else on Earth. And with it comes pressure on housing, transport, utilities and jobs, but also massive opportunity for growth. Because every new neighborhood that rises, every new commuter train that runs, every new market that opens becomes a magnet for investment. Africa's cities are not just growing. They are evolving into laboratories of innovation. Walk through Nairobi's tech district, and you will hear the buzz of startups pitching investors. Drive through Lagos on a weekday morning, and you will see the skyline changing every few months. In Accra, Kigali, and Addis Ababa, young professionals are building what did not exist 10 years ago. Co-working hubs, digital studios, smart microfactories. Urbanization here is not chaos. It is creativity under pressure. And out of that pressure, something remarkable is being forged. Now, talk about diversity. Because Africa isn't just one market. It is 54 countries, more than 1,200 languages, and hundreds of cultures that make collaboration both challenging and powerful. Nigeria alone has over 500 languages. Yet, across the continent, five working languages dominate business life: Arabic, English, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. Language isn't just communication here. It is connection. It is how trust is built. And trust is the currency of business. Every negotiation, every trade deal, every startup pitch begins with one question: can I trust you? And when language bridges that gap, business follows. That is something many investors underestimate, but every entrepreneur in Africa understands instinctively. Now, here is where the story turns from structure to speed. Over the past decade, Africa's startup scene has moved from whispers to headline. And if there is one word to describe it, it is momentum. And mobile money have led the charge. Companies like Flutterwave, Opay, just to mention but few, have crossed the $1 billion mark. Platforms like Jumia, Yesera, prove that innovation extends far beyond financial services. To give you a sense of scale, in 2024, Africa handled around 74% of global money transactions, worth more than $1.1 trillion. That is to say, 3/4 of the world mobile money activity happen in Africa. That is extraordinary. Why does that matter? Because it proves something fundamental about how Africa scales. Unlike other regions, Africa does not wait for perfect infrastructure. It builds around it. It solves problems with creativity, not complexity. When you operate across fragmented markets with different regulations, currencies, and systems, you learn to build solutions that adapt fast, run lean, and cross borders effortlessly. That is the hidden superpowers of African builders. They are not constrained by legacy systems. They designed for agility from day one. FinTech was just the first wave. Now, that same pattern of solving real problems with simple, scalable tools is spreading into renewable energy, mobility, and logistics. That is why the energy of this moment feels different. This isn't a story about catching up. It is a story about leading in new ways. If you look closely, you will notice a pattern across everything we have discussed so far. It is not just growth. It is transformation powered by people. Yes, Africa's share of global investment is still small. Yes, challenges remain. Infrastructure, governance, policy gaps. But the fundamentals are clear. A continent this young, disconnected, this determined can't stay underestimated forever. The numbers give you the framework. The people give you the movement. And together, they tell a story that is impossible to ignore. Africa's economy may look small today, but its direction of growth is rewriting what is possible, powered by youth, technology, and unstoppable connectivity. And that is what we will keep decoding on this show. The patterns behind the progress, the builders behind the numbers, and the stories shaping Africa next decade. The opportunity ahead and the promise. So far, I have talked about why this podcast is inevitable, why it matters, and what we must do differently. Because it is absolutely important that we raise the bar, aim for higher standards, and completely reject the poverty, self-pity, and self-sabotage narratives that have held Africa back. I also explain how we will make sense of what is happening in African markets using frameworks like Michael Porter's Five Forces and the Market Maturity Curve to attract investors to Africa. We must showcase the continent as it truly is, the risks, the challenges, and the opportunities. It must prove that the risks are worth the investment. Let's be honest. No clear-thinking investor will put money into a market just because people are dying or because it is a moral responsibility to help others. Investors come when they see opportunity, the chance to create wealth, to derive value, to build something that lasts. The faster we see the real nature of Africa, its potential, its momentum, its untapped energy, the faster we will experience the prosperity Africa deserves. And that belief led me to what I call the human engine. Unlike other continents, two things are currently in Africa's favor. that is the youngest continent, and it remains largely untapped. These are advantages Africa must use wisely. Putting all this together, I hope you are beginning to see the bigger picture. Because the next billionaires of this world will emerge from Africa and not in the distant future. This isn't hearsay. It is reality. Think of the energy needs required to lift the continent to an average performing economy. The infrastructure still missing. Housing, railways, bridges, roads, schools, hospitals, business hubs, just to mention but few. And above all, the digital system for the modern mobility era. The list of opportunities is endless. Of course, without investment, all of these remain fantasy. But this time is different. The internet has made the world a global village. People in the most remote areas can now see how others live, and they want the same for themselves. That desire will trigger a chain of actions and events that will make it impossible for underperforming policymakers in Africa to hide behind mediocrity. Africa must transform. It has no other option. The time has come. The time is now. If there is one thing to take away from this episode, let it be this. Your story is not one of luck. The next decade will define how the world sees Africa, and more importantly, how Africa sees itself. It is not about aid, it is about ownership. Not about charity, but about creation. Not about waiting for opportunity, but building it. Because every nation that ever transformed did so through enterprise. I think this is a good place to end this episode. The next one, coming out next month, dives into the energy sector in Nigeria, the corruption sagas, the scandals, and the opportunities that will blow your mind. You don't want to miss that one. If this episode gave you something to think about, visit continent-dna.com. Share your feedbacks. I will be looking forward to it. Subscribe and spread the word. I am Toby Duru, and this is Continent DNA, decoding the builders, the pattern, and the future of Africa. Lagos to the world. We build. We break. We build. We break. We build. We break. We build. Continent DNA.